Well, hello. It's been a while since I've been down here. I've been upstairs for several Sundays preaching, and so I went back and asked Jenna. I was like, when do I go up again? I forgot. So I'm glad to be back here with you guys this morning and excited for this message that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. And so I would just ask now that you would go to God in prayer with me. Gracious God, I thank you for this day, for this opportunity to share your word. God, I pray that you would just give me your words this morning so that I could share them clearly and effectively. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So when I was growing up, I remember one of my teachers had this poster in her room. And I find myself thinking about that poster from time to time, even now. And it had the word think written at the top. And for each letter of the word think, it posed a question that you should answer before saying, writing, or posting something that you weren't sure if you should allow it out of your brain or not. And so it went like this. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? If you could answer all of these questions with a yes, then you were allowed to say, write, or post said idea. If the answer was no, then you didn't need to say it, write it, or post it. Pretty good rule of thumb, don't you think? Today, we're going to be looking at a passage from the book of James, and in this passage, we're going to be challenged to think about how we respond to others in how we listen, how we speak, and what kind of attitude we allow ourselves to have when interacting with those around us. But not only is this passage going to challenge us to think about our responses, it's going to challenge us to evaluate how we live our lives. Do we care for others as Jesus has instructed us to do? How can we be doers of the word, and how can our actions help us to seek the welfare of everyone around us? And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to James chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 27. If you don't have your Bibles, I believe we will have it up here on the screen. But James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. When I first read the passage for today, I'll be honest with you, I thought, whoa. There's a lot in that passage if you really stop and read it. And so how do we even break this down? And so after reading it a couple of different times, I felt like there were three different challenges that we can pull out of this text for today. So the first challenge is this. We must get rid of or take off worldly ways of living life. In the very beginning of the passage, we are told how we should act and respond to others with our words and our actions. Some examples of what not to do would be this. Be slow to listen, but instead quickly interrupt someone with our own thoughts. Be quick to speak because you know that you have all the answers and you want to express your opinions first. And finally, be quick to become angry. When we accept the word that is planted in us, which is our salvation, then we no longer desire to act in a way that is pleasing to ourselves, but in a way that is pleasing to God. God asks us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. 2 Timothy 1:7 reminds us that God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. With the Holy Spirit actively working inside of us, we possess self-control and in turn demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, faithfulness, patience, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. When we take off or get rid of the things not of God that are in our life, we're able to focus on His Spirit working in us that allows us to be full of these characteristics that we so desperately desire and need to be the people that are quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. But we have to allow God's Spirit to work through us, which brings me to the next challenge found in our text. Do not merely listen to the word. Do what it says. The story is told of two men who were traveling along in a hot air balloon when they began to realize they had no idea where they were. To make matters worse, as they looked at the sky, a storm began brewing overhead and heavy clouds started rolling in. For a brief minute, they came through a break in the clouds and they were able to see a man on a hill just beneath them. In a shout of desperation, one of them yelled to the man, "Excuse me, sir, but do you know where we are?" "Sure," he said, "you're in a hot air balloon." Before the men could respond, a big gust of wind came along and blew them back into the clouds. Then one of the men looked at the other and said, "That man must have been a Christian." "Why do you say that?" asked his friend. "Because what he said was absolutely true, but it was also absolutely useless." It's unfortunate that the world often looks at Christians that way. Christians are often seen as believing in things that may be true, but they don't really make a difference in daily living. It's one thing to say that you believe a certain creed, but it's a totally different thing to have that creed actually transform your conduct. It's one thing to talk about your faith, but it's something altogether different to live into it. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. I love what the footnotes say in my Bible regarding this section. It seems paradoxical that a law could give us freedom, but God's law offers us a true reflection of our sinful condition and gives us the opportunity to ask for God's forgiveness. As Christians, we are saved by God's grace, and salvation frees us from sin's control. As believers, we are free to live as God created us to live. Of course, this does not mean that we are free to do as we please. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. We are now free to obey God. Have you ever been caught in a bad place in your life? Maybe one bad decision led to the next bad decision, and then it leads to another bad decision. And then pretty soon you're caught in a mess and you're not sure how to get out. Sin can be stressful, can it? It can cause us to have knots in the pits of our stomach because we know that we are doing something that's not pleasing to God. So how do you get out of the mess of sin? We can't get out of the mess of sin on our own. That's the whole point of salvation, right? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And yet, even in the midst of our brokenness, our unfaithfulness, and bad choices, God is still there asking us to let him lead our lives and give him control. So how do you get out of your sin? By giving your life over to Christ and choosing to live for him. You listen to God's word and then you do as it says. You get rid of the filth of this world and put on the things of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it means that we have to ask for help in doing so. We are called to not only seek the welfare of ourselves and our own Christian walk, but the welfare of others. And part of that means that we have the privilege of not only holding each other accountable to how we should act, but we can also choose to encourage each other as we walk with each other through life's trials and tribulations. Living in this world isn't easy, is it? But with the help of each other, the load becomes a little lighter. And finally, the last part of our text for today. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. It matters what we say because it is part of our Christian witness. And not only does it matter what we say, it matters how we act. The two are connected and must align if we are to make a difference. While written well over a century ago, this excerpt from the great Princeton theologian B.B. Warfield's sermon, Imitating the Incarnation, continues to inspire the kind of life Christ calls us to. I want you to listen to these words and really think about it. Christ was led by his love for others into the world, to forget himself in the needs of others, to sacrifice self once for all upon the altar of sympathy. Self-sacrifice brought Christ into the world, and self-sacrifice will lead us, his followers, not away from, but into the midst of men. Wherever men suffer, there will we be to comfort. Wherever men strive, there we will be to help. Wherever men fail, there we will be to uplift. Wherever men succeed, there we will be to rejoice. Self-sacrifice means not indifference to our times and our fellows. It means absorption in them. It means forgetfulness of self in others. It means entering into every man's hopes and fears, longings and despairs. It means many-sidedness of spirit, multiform activity, multiplicity of sympathies. It means richness of development. It means not that we should live one life, but 1,000 lives, binding ourselves to 1,000 souls by the filaments of so loving a sympathy that their lives become ours. It means that all the experiences of men shall smite our souls and shall beat and batter these stubborn hearts of ours into fitness for their heavenly home. It is, after all, then, the path to the highest possible development by which alone we can be made truly men. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. We must take care of those who cannot take care of themselves. We must seek the welfare of our city, our neighborhood, our communities, our workplaces, our families. We must be the hands and feet of Jesus in a world that so desperately needs Christian people to do as they say. And how do we do that? We must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We must allow God into our hearts, minds, and soul so that he can work in us and through us. And we must not think of one word or deed too small or simple to make a difference. I love this illustration that I came across while I was preparing for today's message, and it goes like this. A businessman well known for his ruthlessness once announced to writer Mark Twain, "Before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I will climb Mount Sinai and read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top." "I have a better idea," replied Twain. "You could stay in Boston and keep them." This morning, I want to remind you that you have been called to be doers of his word. And in order to know what his word said, you have to read it and you have to understand it. Will you take time this day to commit yourself to him? Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but if you look back on this week and on your words and your deeds, you wouldn't know it. Will you give him the space needed to be in control of your life? In control of your thoughts, your speech, your wants, and your motivation? Because when we allow his spirit to take hold of our lives, we can't help but follow with Christ-like action. Let him in. Let him take control. And let him take your words, attitudes, and actions so they might be good and pleasing unto his kingdom here on earth. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we come to you this morning wanting to give you control. Control of our lives, our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Lord, we need you every second of the day. Help us to feel your spirit at work within us and allow us to surrender ourselves so that we might overflow with your goodness and love for others. May our focus continually be on you so that we might take every opportunity you give us to share your love. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We've now come to the portion of our service where I'm turning it back over to you. If you have a decision or if you have some things you need to talk to God about this morning, please don't wait. Don't wait to talk to him. Take the time to do it now. It's important to do so. I'm gonna be at the back. If you need to come, if you'd like to talk, if you'd like to have prayer, whatever you need, just know that this is your time now to spend with God.